Hello, everyone. I am District 4 Commissioner Marlene Foscue, and you are listening to Better Together with Commissioner Foscue, where my guests and I share ideas and discuss issues impacting Gwinnett County. Over the next few episodes, we are celebrating Black History Month in Gwinnett County by speaking with a few of our Gwinnett's history makers. In this episode, we will spend time with Judge Rhonda Coven Leary, the first African-American judge elected to the state court bench here in the Gwinnett Judicial Circuit. I think you're going to enjoy hearing her background and some insight into our judicial system. So, I am so honored that you are here. It's my privilege to welcome you, Honorable Judge Rhonda Coven Leary, to the Better Together podcast. Thank you for taking time out to join us. And so we're going to jump in and ask a little bit of questions about you and just things like, what's your Gwinnett story? Where did you go to college at? Because I wanted to know that. I don't know why I wanted to know that, but I wanted to know where you went to college at. And how did you end up as a state court judge here in Gwinnett?
Okay. Well, first of all, good morning, Commissioner Foscue. Thank you so much for having me. I'm pleased to be here. I've watched the podcast. You have a lot of great guests on here, and it's great for the community, what you're doing to keeping us informed. But yes, I am Judge Rhonda Coven Leary, Gwinnett County First State Court Judge. You ask about my educational background.
Yes.
I attended Auburn University in Auburn, Alabama.
I didn't realize that.
Yes, that's where I got my undergraduate degree from. And then I attended Florida Coastal School of Law in Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, wow.
So that's where I got my law degree from.
Great.
And after getting my law degree, I ended up back here in Georgia. And as you know, I've practiced law for 17 plus years as a practicing attorney. Started off as a prosecutor. So I've been on that side. After I did that for a while, I went to the other side, became a defense attorney.
Oh, wow. So, I didn't realize you worked on both sides.
Yeah. So I got the perspective from both sides, which I think is great being a judge. So I got to see both sides. I also taught at Phoenix University as an adjunct law professor. As a law instructor adjunct. And then, but my areas of law has been very varied, juvenile law, criminal law, civil law. I've done a little bit of everything.
It sounds well-rounded, definitely.
Yeah, which I think is an asset, and it helps me when I'm on the bench.
Okay. So I know, because we ran during the same time period.
Yes,
but you
did.
You were elected to serve on the bench in 2018.
Yes.
How did it feel being the first African-American woman elected as the state court judge in Gwinnett then? And how does it feel 2 years later?
Well, it's for me, it's a very humbling experience. But as you know, you and I both were out there on the campaign trail. You yourself, if I'm not mistaken, is the first African-American.
District commissioner.
As the commissioner. So you also know that there's a huge responsibility. But I feel humble. I feel honored. And I feel that I can be here as a symbol for those other young people to sit and look and say, hey, that's possible. I never paint myself in a box. I don't put boundaries on myself. And I want to see myself. I want others to see me as a symbol of they can do whatever they want to do. You know,
that's
the sky is the limit.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful.
Yes.
I think for me, when I first got elected, I really was in awe because none of us ran on race or anything. We wouldn't do that. We ran on our skill sets and what we can do for our community.
That's right.
And so to have little young ladies to come up to us and say, hey, such and such. I'm like, who, me?
Yes.
You know, so I think that you probably felt a little bit like that at times.
I did. It just so happened to be that we both were African Americans.
Yes.
You know, and when you take the race away, although race was important.
Yes, very important.
That was huge. But when you take it away and just look at our merit, and we have the capability to do the job, serve the community, I think that's paramount.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yes.
So for those of you, well, those not you, but for those who may be listening, they may not know what a state court judge may do.
Okay.
What's your role? What do you do? What is your day like?
Well, we are a court of limited jurisdictions. We handle everything from civil litigation. Civil litigation is 80% of our caseload.
Oh, yeah.
That's the medical malpractice. Those are the wrongful death cases. Those are the contract dispute cases. That's the bulk of state court caseload, civil litigation. Criminal misdemeanors, Those are everything that's not handled in Superior Court. Oh. We handle only misdemeanors, criminal cases, meaning that our maximal sentence can be 12 months in jail, 12 months probation, and a $1,000 fine. I like state court. I like the criminal cases. I like that those individuals that come before me, I've reached them before, hopefully, they get to Superior Court.
Okay.
And I can be an impact and let them see, hey, this is not the way you want to go, mm-hmm. and let's stop here. So I love the kind of cases we reach in state court.
Okay.
We don't handle any divorces. We don't handle any felony cases, the murders, the armed robberies. That's not handled in state court.
Okay.
Yes.
So who or what inspired you to go into the legal profession or and to become a judge? Was it one person or was it just, is it something you want to do from a little girl growing up or what?
Not one person. It comes from a host of childhood experiences. I remember being outside because I'm from the rural South.
Okay.
I'm from Alabama, but I remember being outside playing in the dirt, and I've always said, I want to be a judge. I thought of Thurgood Marshall, but I also remember Rosa Parks. You know, I remember Martin Luther King. I remember my family members, some of them having to go into the court system and how they were treated and how they felt and how intimidated they were and how nobody looked like them. All of that made me decide and realize that that's where I needed to be. That's where I wanted to be.
Well, I can say that, and Gwinnett, we're glad that you are here.
Thank you.
We're going to wrap it up, but before we do, as far as for a break, I do have an additional question where, you know that I'm large and a huge proponent of leadership.
Yes.
What do you think your staff think about your leadership skills? I mean, what do they think? If they were something, if they had to describe your leadership skills, what would they say?
Being that you're asking me and they're my staff, I may not be the
I know, but it's just your perception of what you may think.
But I think I do a good job in empowering them, and I think I do a good job by leading by example. I wouldn't ask my staff or anybody to do anything that I wouldn't do.
Great.
I'm not too good to get down and pick up the trash or scrub the floors. Whatever I do, I place myself in that same role. So I think I'm a leader who leads by example. And what I say, my word is my bond.
Yes.
And so that's how I think they enjoy me being their leader.
I'm sure they do. But I thought that would be interesting because one of the things I find important too is that everywhere and everyone that I meet here in Gwinnett County, I try to make sure I have a conversation with those that
right.
I can, whether it's someone who's cleaning our buildings
right.
or it doesn't matter who they may
that's
be,
right.
everyone brings value to
that's
the
right.
table. And
that's
so that's
right.
one of the things that I think is very important.
Extremely.
So one of the things we're going to do right now is take a quick break
okay.
and we're going to listen to some announcements that surrounds Gwinnett County.
Okay.
And we'll be right back.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Shanika Taylor, Community Outreach Director for Gwinnett County. If you've ever wanted to get a firsthand peek of how your local government operates, well, here's your chance. Applications are now open for the Spring 2021 Gwinnett 101 Citizens Academy. Gwinnett 101 is a 12-week program designed to give residents a behind-the-scenes look at their county government and learn how they can get involved in their local community. If you live in Gwinnett, have a business here, or are enrolled in a Gwinnett college or university, you're invited to apply now through March 2nd for the Spring 2021 class. Weekly sessions begin April 1st and will be held in person with COVID-19 precautions in place. We are also accepting applications for the Gwinnett Youth Commission 2021-2022 program year. Gwinnett County High School sophomores, juniors, and seniors take part in an 8-week training session over the summer and then are sworn in as youth commissioners where they serve as youth ambassadors for the county. Applications for the Gwinnett Youth Commission are due Monday, April 12th. The class sizes for the next Gwinnett 101 Citizens Academy and the Gwinnett Youth Commission will be limited to 15 participants, so visit GwinnettCommunityOutreach.com to learn more and apply today. Also, we're preparing to celebrate Black History Month in February. Follow the county on social media for exciting reflections, recognitions, and experiences, including a virtual tour.
Well, thank you so much for those announcements. Now, as we go back to Judge Copen Leary, let's talk a little bit about COVID-19, and we know that it has presented some challenges in every aspect of governance, especially with the court system. What are some of the challenges the courts have had to work through, and how were you able to adapt to them?
Yes, Commissioner. As you know, this has been a huge undertaking for everybody. It has affected everybody, and it has affected us in the judicial arena. Some of the challenges we have had is, for example, limited in-person proceedings. So we've had to make sure that anybody who does come into the court is protected. If you go into our courtrooms, you'll see, as you see here, the barriers, the plexiglass, we have that up. We have access to the mask. There may be some gloves too. We have gloves. We have hand sanitizers. That has really limited, the COVID has limited our ability to conduct jury trials.
Oh, wow.
Yes, hugely. And Justice Melton has just put out his 10th order limiting us from having a jury trial unless we can do it in a safe manner.
So I thought for some reason there was some aspect of the courts that use a video.
We do. That's what the bulk of our proceedings, just like this morning, a Zoom hearings, a WebEx hearings. That's how we've been conducting our proceedings, just to keep things moving and so the cases won't get clogged and backlogged. The judges on each bench is doing a great job. We're trying to make sure even those pro se litigants have access to that technology, because that's another issue. What if you don't have access?
That's what I was thinking.
To that technology. All the judges are flexible. They're understanding and they're accommodating. If I have someone who show up in court and they didn't get the notice about the Zoom, but they want to have their case resolved, we do have that ability to safely handle that procedure.
In person.
In person, because we don't have a courtroom filled with people. It's just them. And so we can safely handle those proceedings. But it has affected the court system dramatically. And when we do start back up, get things rolling, we will have a backlog of cases that's ready to go. We have specially set cases, like week-long or two-week-long civil cases, medical malpractice, wrongful death cases, that we have to specially set out a year or so in advance. Yeah, our calendars are usually made a year in advance.
I didn't realize that.
Yes, so that we can get everything scheduled. But now with COVID, everything's so unpredictable. Now it's not so easy to do. So we're only probably about 1 or 2 months out, 2 or 3 months out setting the calendar.
But
it's still a lot of uncertainty, because with the rise of the COVID cases and the safety issues, we're just basically trying to see where things go.
Okay, sure. Now, you've been an advocate for sentencing alternatives during your time in office. Can you explain what that means, and are there any new programs coming forward?
Yeah, alternative sentencing is when instead of going sentencing someone to jail or incarceration, you have an alternative means for, I guess, punishment, for lack of a better word. Gwinnett County does have some good alternative programs already in place. For example, we have the DUI court. Those people who have gotten multiple DUIs probably stems from some type of dependency on drugs or alcohol. So we do have that in place. We have a mental health court for state court. It's not set up like the DUI court, but there are things that we can do for people who may be suffering from mental health issues to help them go through the court system and try to kind of help keep their record clean so they won't have a conviction. Judge Brown has started a veterans court where those people who are veterans come into the court system to kind of help them reintegrate, get their sentence done, and get back out into the community. The main thing is to try to help people get back into the community without just messing up their whole lives with a criminal conviction.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, I know that, are there any new initiatives that you plan to carry out this year?
There was one. I thought about the a domestic violence court. But with COVID came in and kind of put a screeching halt to a lot of things. So that hasn't been taken off and moving forward. I am on the Gwinnett Violence Task Force that we have here in Gwinnett County. But as we know, domestic violence is a concern. And so that's one thing that we do need to address. But with COVID, it has put a kind of a halt on a lot of things moving forward until we can get past the COVID. A lot of the things that we probably want to do is going to take a little bit longer.
Okay.
But yes.
I want to thank you again for participating this summer when you participated in our hashtag More Than an Impact Youth Empowerment Summit.
Absolutely.
What advice can you offer a young person or young people who might aspire to have a career like yours?
My advice would be to follow your dreams. If it's really your passion, stick to it. No matter what anybody says, if it's negative, I always advise people to remove the negativity from your life. Only keep the positivity around you. If it's negative people, remove them from your lives. You know what you want to do. You want to be happy. Go for it. The sky's the limit.
That's
the
really good.
The sky's the limit. Yes.
Now, we're about to wrap it up, but I hope that you remain a judge in Gwinnett County. I don't know all your aspirations, but at least 10, 20 years. That's just me. That's what I hope. What would you want to be known for? If, you know, if that happens in 20 years from now, and when you think about all the different maybe programs or that type of thing, what would you want to be known for by the residents as well as by your peers based on the job that you would have done in that long time frame?
I think any judge wants to be known for, and I want to be known for my fairness. I want to be known for my compassion as I'm sitting judging mm-hmm. a person's case. We got to remember, Commissioner, you and I, we're still human. We're still mothers.
Yes.
Okay. We still have feelings. Just because we put on this robe of our career
yes.
doesn't take away from who we are. So when I'm walking on the street out there and I'm a regular person walking on the street, I want people to remember me for being a kind person, a fair person, and somebody who cares. I live in this community, so I have to care about the people who live in this community also.
And the people in this community cares about you, so we thank you again for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You shed so much light on what I think is one of the most complex structures of government, our court system. It was great having you to join us today, Your Honor. Is there anything else that you want to say before we totally close out? Is there anything?
No.
So, okay. So before we close out, be sure to save the date for our first live podcast every event Monday, February 22nd from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Gwinnett Justice and Administration Center Auditorium as we reflect on the impact of the late Congressman John Lewis. We will also be on social media at that time. Now, just to follow or subscribe to our podcast to keep up with the new episodes, you can do that if you would like to go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or the podcast platform of your choice. You can also watch the video version of the podcast on TV Gwinnett and Vimeo. Until next time, and always remember, we are much better working together. Thank you.